passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
And welcome back. We have an hour to go, and we are going to make up some time here with Stacy in Birmingham next. Good afternoon.
What's up, Paul Feinbaum?
Hey, Stacy.
Real quick. Three great interviews today. You had Asia Wilson, then you had my frat brother, Montel Jordan, Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated. And last, you had Pat Smith, who said nothing but the truth. He's better than the M&Ms you be having on there, Mike and Mike. But Pat said some key things, Paul. Alabama is the only team that can beat Georgia. And Georgia is the only team that can truly, really beat Alabama. So I'm going to leave that right there. But I don't care about Jimbo. I don't care about Dabo. I don't care about Limbo or Subo. Let's talk about the tide that's rolling in, baby. That's what we need to be talking about. And we're going to roll in on Saturday night, and we're going to step on some kiddies, and we're going to get up out of there, and we're going to celebrate, and we're going to keep it moving. Another thing I want to say, Paul, is we got to understand this election show, people need to calm down. People need to chill out, because this week and the next couple of weekends that's coming up, it's going to solve itself. Everything is going to work itself out. Georgia got a weak schedule. Georgia got a weak schedule. If you really look at it, Georgia got a brutal schedule coming up, some brutal teams coming up that they have to finish. Now, this Ohio State, man, let me tell you something. Alabama and Georgia, if they play Rutgers, if they played Wisconsin, Boston, well, I don't think they played Boston College. But like those other teams, if they play them, man, it'll be a blowout. Talk to me, Paul.
You know, I think what you said is completely accurate in relation to Alabama and Georgia.
Okay, you don't think that else is accurate?
Well, so you're saying, let me make sure I understand you. Who did you say would blow them out?
So if Alabama, okay, so hey, let's do this. If Alabama played Penn State, and don't insult my intelligence, Paul. Tell me the truth, because you just said last time I called you. Oh, we just say whatever you want to hear on this show. So don't tell me what I want to hear. Tell me the truth. Alabama and Penn State, who you got?
Oh, I got Alabama.
Georgia and Penn State, who you got?
Georgia.
Do you expect Alabama or Georgia to struggle with a Maryland team?
No.
Okay. So that's all. That's the only win that Ohio State has to me. Really? It's Penn State. But Penn State, they show up and mess up every year. So can we really count them?
No, I mean I think Penn State is a good program, but James Franklin is a seriously deficient coach when it comes to big games. And I don't. And by the way, I don't think that win at Notre Dame was that big of a deal either. That they're making out for Ohio State.
And it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't. So, you know, like I say, everything will work itself out. And I'll see you Friday afternoon, Paul.
Well, Stacy, I look forward to that. Thanks so much for calling. As always, JK is up next.
Paul, is Stacy drunk or he's smoking that purple stuff? Or what's wrong with him? Did I hear him say Alabama is the only team and Ohio State the only team to beat Georgia, and Georgia was the only team to beat Alabama? Did he say something like that?
Something like that.
So he didn't watch it. His TV was broke when they played Texas? Or was it broke the week when they struggled to beat South Florida and needed a rainstorm to do that?
Well, that game doesn't.
What is wrong with these entitled Alabama fans, Paul? Just because the playoff comes around and the committee gives their selection, all of a sudden they're relevant again?
Well, I mean, well, first of all, JK, they are relevant again.
How? Please explain to the listeners, Paul.
They're sitting there at number 8 in the country, and their schedule an LSU win would be very significant, and that would put them in against Georgia, and a win over Georgia puts them in the playoffs, as much as that would kill you.
Hey, Paul, let me try to break this down very calmly.
Okay.
Alabama is not relevant, and this is the reason why. Right now, they are sitting and they are waiting for teams to lose for them to be relevant.
JK, you're completely wrong. Because remember something about, we just showed the rankings. Ohio State and Michigan, somebody loses. And
when they lose, they're just
going to hate Nick Saban, no matter how much you hate Alabama, no matter how much you hate the Alabama faithful, if Alabama wins out, I would stake my life on them making the playoff.
Well, you better call Smith and Gasson and get you a nice casket.
Well,
if you bet your life on
do that, because and rarely am I this confident, but I guarantee that will happen.
You guarantee they're going to make the – you can't even
guarantee
they're going to make
Alabama
the playoffs.
Alabama will make the playoffs if they win out.
Oh, if they win out. That's a big if.
Well, that's the
they
only thing
get,
we're talking about
get,
here, JK. I'm not saying they're going to make it if they lose a game. You don't think I'm completely lost my mind, do you?
Completely, like I say, by 88.5%.
Okay, well, you may be partially right about that.
Hey, Paul, but check this out. When they lost to Texas – I didn't get this song and dance from you. You were on the opposite end talking about Alabama. Now, all of a sudden, you're back on the Nick bandwagon? What's going on, Paul?
Because I think what I did, and a lot of people did it, we overreacted to things that weren't really important. That South Florida game didn't make one bit of – it didn't mean anything. All it meant was that the offensive coordinator was having a bad time, and I think he was, and I blamed him for it. But they righted the wrongs, and, yeah, they've had some narrow calls, but the fact that Alabama is winning the second half and winning the fourth quarter against schools like Ole Miss, a really good program, A&M, which isn't, and Tennessee, which is somewhere in between, is significant.
Paul, you say all of that about Alabama, and even if Ole Miss runs the table, they have a better resume than Alabama, because they would have beaten
really
the number one. Why not?
Well, because, JK, you just think with your heart, not your mind.
No, we're having a conversation, Paul. You just can't switch
Ole Miss,
it.
Ole Miss has at least another loss coming their way.
That's not guaranteed. That's just your opinion.
I didn't say anything was guaranteed, but
you said they have another loss as if it's written in stone.
Well, I think there's a pretty good chance of it, but let's say they may have another loss, just so it satisfies your rules of grammatical correctness. And
that's a better word to use.
Well, you better believe it. And the problem that Ole Miss has is that their season will end after Mississippi State. Alabama's, if it wins out in the regular season, will not. They'll play for the championship.
Well, if but if,
and by
again,
the way, they'll also have a win over Georgia under my scenario, and under your scenario, where you claimed Ole Miss would have a better resume, they would have a loss against Georgia.
Hey, Paul, when Alabama lose to LSU Saturday, this will be 2 years in a row that they will be eliminated from the playoffs.
Has that happened? Did I miss the game?
Hey, Paul, this will be the second year in a row they're eliminated before Thanksgiving.
It
2 years in a row.
Yet.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen, Paul.
JK, give me a reason why you're so sure, other than your hatred for Alabama.
Because they have an average offense, and I don't think their DBs are going to be able to handle the wide receiver and skill players for LSU. That's how I feel about the game this upcoming Saturday.
Okay. Well, listen, you are certainly entitled to that opinion.
And one more thing, Paul. If they lose Saturday, I'm asking every listener to tune in Monday, because you're going to have Otis Redding Jr. with a new song for the Alabama faithful, Watching the Tide Roll Away, Part 2.
Okay, Jeff. By the way, win or lose, we will be here. Monday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back as we roll on. Calls coming in, and Brad is up next in Macon. Hello, Brad.
Mr. Paul, how you doing, brother?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Can I set straight Elliot from Ohio real quick before I get to my point?
I wish you would.
Okay, let's get it straight. First thing you said wrong about Georgia's schedule, you said Georgia was behind Michigan. Actually, Michigan's 111th to Georgia's 100. So get your facts right. Number two, it must be nice winning one to two meaningful games every year and stealing a playoff spot for the championship, because you do it every year. That's all y'all got up there is two teams. Okay, the third thing is, last time I checked, I believe Georgia put down Ohio State and Michigan to get in the national championship. So, dude, you're not even legitimate. Make sure you have your facts right before you call down here. So that's that.
Well said. Thank you for clearing the air.
Paul, hypothetical for you, and it is a hypothetical, but you might have to call Heather about this, but I'm sure you'll figure it out. Let's just say this right here. Georgia drops a game to Ole Miss, and they win out. Okay, having said that, LSU goes in and just somehow, some way, knocks off Alabama. Okay, then here's what you have in the West, but I don't have a dog in the fight, but you have three teams with one in-conference loss and two teams with a loss outside of conference. Who wins the West?
Well, there is a tiebreaker that's been explained to me a couple of times. So you have
they've all beat each other, though.
Yeah, you have everybody with one loss. Is that right?
Yeah, everybody beats each other. You got Ole Miss beating LSU, and then you got LSU beating Alabama. I mean, and then you got Alabama beating Ole Miss. I mean, how do you figure that one out?
Okay, Brad, hold on 1 second. They're in a three-team tie. It is a combined head-to-head among the tied team. That's the first tiebreaker.
Okay, and let me ask you this:
tied teams within the division.
Within the division. But if they crossed up and beat each other.
And then the third is a head-to-head cross division. So that will hurt. Ole Miss is going to be the loser in that regard. Am I right about that? With the head-to-head within the division. And then the problem.
Okay, I got you. Ole Miss would be in the division, would be out. Gotcha.
Well, because Ole Miss has a game against Vanderbilt, and I think that will hurt their overall percentage if it goes to the third tiebreaker.
But if LSU beats Alabama, they have an in-division loss to Ole Miss,
yeah,
but they have a win against Alabama,
yeah,
which
so
is in division.
I think it would then come down to LSU and Alabama, depending on how – I mean, and by the way, I mean, do I think it's going to end like that? No, but there is a tiebreaker criteria.
All right, brother. Thank you much for your call.
Thank you. Great to hear from you. Thank you very, very much. Let's continue with Glenn, who is in Alabama. Hello, Glenn. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Before the season started, I got in a lot, but since the season started, it's hard to get in. But I'd like to, first of all, thank your directors of the show. They're finally playing some classic rock and roll.
Oh, good.
And glad to hear that. And also, I want to make a comment about Dabo Swinney. I'd like to honor him. I think he's done great things at Clemson, but he's going through some adversity, and I feel that he's a godly man, and I've been through adversity myself in my life, and God's brought me out of it, and I think that could happen for him. I think it'd be a perfect pick for Alabama. He's a graduate of Alabama. He bleeds Clemson. And he'll be in the Southeastern Conference and have better support to compete with the NIL and the transfer portal. And also, I think that he would turn Alabama. Maybe the first year or so it won't be so great, but I think he would be a good coach for Alabama. And also, I would like to make a comment about that Elliott in Ohio. he's talking about Georgia not playing nobody. Georgia, ever since Kirby Smart's over there, they played everybody. And 1 year, they have an easy schedule, and they say they're not irrelevant. But the thing is, they play irrelevant teams every year. The only good teams that they play is each other, Ohio State and Michigan. And I think if the Southeastern Conference commissioner, if this was a team in the Southeastern Conference, I think he would handle it a lot better than what they're doing with this spying on other teams. And I hope Michigan gets punished. I wish they would get punished before the playoffs, but I don't think that's going to happen because the NCAA is real slow.
Yeah, you're right about it. Hey, thank you very much for the call. Will is up next in Birmingham. Hello, Will.
What's going on, Paul?
Hey there.
Hey, so I see that the Nation crew is going to be up in Oxford this weekend.
Yes.
Assuming you're there on Friday night, I see on Twitter, I'm not sure if you've seen this or not, but one of the Texas A&M Twitter accounts put out that they're going to be having a Yale practice on the square late Friday night. So I was hoping that maybe if I showed up there, which I'm an Ole Miss fan, I was hoping that possibly you would be in that crowd practicing some of those Aggie yells.
Well, I've done that before in College Station. I think the odds of me risking that in Oxford at midnight on the square are very low.
Wait, so you said you have participated in this before?
We were out there a couple of years ago, and I did, at the end of the show, I did a deal with the Yale leaders. So I was about as clumsy as anybody's ever been, but I tried.
Well, that's great. Props to you for trying. I don't know what a lot of these callers on the show think about the Ole Miss and Texas A&M game on Saturday, but I have, as an Ole Miss fan, I have a level of confidence that we will win, but I expect it to be close. Do you have any analysis or predictions?
I'm pretty similar to where you are. I think it's a very nervy game for Ole Miss, and it's the same thing that you hear about A&M every time they play. It's their defensive line is so elite. They have so much, so many players, and I mean, offensively, I'm not that wowed by them. I think Wegman was a potentially an elite quarterback, and I don't think Max Johnson is. But I do think they're capable, and I think they've shown that. I mean, they came within a hair of beating Tennessee on the road. Same thing for Alabama. This is not a bad team. They're capable of doing a lot, and if they ever just put it all together, and the head coach gets out of the way and doesn't come up with ridiculous decisions like he did in the Alabama and Tennessee game.
Right. No, I know. I mean, they have all the talent in the world. It's kind of mind-boggling that they haven't figured it out.
I have more confidence in Lane Kiffin if you want me to break it down to where I think the game is going to go. But one thing about Ole Miss, I don't see a reason why they would lose this game, but I don't think anybody should be overconfident either.
Yeah, no, that's kind of where I am. If you've paid any attention to Lane Kiffin's press conferences this week, then you've had a couple of laughs because, I mean, everything that he said this week about Texas A&M is true, but at the same time, it also comes off as Lane taking shots at Jimbo.
Well, here's what I think is going on with Lane. I have some reason to believe this is accurate, a lot of reason to believe. He wants to be careful. I think Lane understands the Alabama game was a disaster, and he was a little too aggressive, and I don't think you're going to see that. He still can't resist the shots at Jimbo, and he mentioned them being bowl eligible. It's no secret these two guys do not like each other. I don't care what they say publicly. This is a pretty nasty relationship, and it's how far it goes back, I don't know, but I know it escalated during the same, at the fairly pretty similar time that Nick Saban and Jimbo had their problems.
Yeah, no, I think it kind of dates back. Yeah, like you said, that the Saban Jimbo thing and last year with the, all of the Jimbo's NIL rants and stuff like that. But I mean,
well,
can you imagine?
It even started earlier. I think it started around recruiting time when Jimbo did the first. Remember, he went after Bro Bible and the media and all that. And Lane, I think he ended up calling Lane a clown and all that. Lane, everybody forgot about that when Jimbo and Saban got into it. But I would maintain that the relationship between Jimbo and Saban is better than the relationship between Jimbo and Lane. Thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We will take this time out. Back with more of your calls after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We're back. AJ is up next.
Mr. Feinbaum.
AJ?
Yeah, you're a good guest-abiter. So let me ask you a question. If you were to go by voice tone sounding on the telephone, would you say that Augie was 40 years old or under 40 or over 40?
Over.
Over? Well, what about 50?
I think he's over.
I don't. There's no way. There's no way he sounds older than that. But I tell you what he is. You remember when he said last week, how in his college days he had pictures of Bear Bryant and this, that, and the other, and he had a strong memories of being around Coach Bryant and yeah. Well, I was 47, Paul. I was born in 76, and Bear died in 83, so I would have been 7 years old. And I'm calling bullcrap on the Jim from Tuscaloosa 2.0, Augie. There's no possible way. He's a phony. He's a liar. He's a phony. Everything he says when he calls up here is a lie. He's a phony LSU fan. He's the worst paper shuffling paralegal they got down there at the courthouse cleaning out garbage cans with his tongue. And so next time he calls in here and he tries to pull his little...
They got a big laugh in the studio, AJ.
Well, I'm glad to help him out one time today.
I mean, I like the idea of an attorney using his tongue to clean out the trash can. That doesn't bother me at all.
Well, you know, they also lick the judge's shoes clean.
Well, that's true.
So they can get a little a clout in the courthouse. But I've never heard somebody call in here and make up so much crap other than Jim. So I know for a fact Jim and Augie both, they're kin. Jim is Augie's daddy, is the illegitimate son, is exactly what he is. And so next time you hear from Augie, you tell him I said he's a phony, he's a liar, he's just like Jim. And quite frankly, the verdict is out. You're sentenced to at least 30 days in solitary confinement, you phony piece of paralegal crap, four damn eagle.
It's a good thing we don't have a redundant edit button on the call here. That would have been a rather short conversation. Dog is up next. Hello, Dog. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. Listen, I'm a lifelong Georgia fan. I've been living in Northeast Florida for many years, so I've had a rough road of it. But I'm going to tell you, with the CFP rankings, I was surprised. I was surprised that Georgia wasn't fourth or even pushed out at fifth, because we know that the CFP is a broken system, and hopefully next year it's going to be fixed. And so I'm looking forward to that. But as far as Dabo Swinney is concerned, one thing I wanted to tell you is that today's show has been very entertaining. I've enjoyed all the calls, enjoyed all the people talking, and that's what these shows are about. They're about entertainment. And so when you have your Augies and your Jims and your legends calling, their job is to make sure that this show stays entertaining and to bring shock and awe to some of the listeners. And I believe that's what happened with Dabo. But at the same time, a person has their right to ask a question. But if they're going to ask a question, they're going to challenge a man's ability to do his job, they better expect to have some kind of comeback if that man has any kind of testicular fortitude.
You know something,
and
Floyd,
so
I think a lot of the blame is being passed around, but I frankly think there's another person responsible for what happened there, and that's the guy, and I say this as somebody who's done this for considerably a long time, period of time, it's the host of the show. Once that caller got off track, the host should have jumped in and just cut the guy off. He's made a point. I mean, the host, it's the play-by-play announcer of Clemson. His job is to protect Dabo Swinney from getting involved in food fights with callers. And he failed. He's the one that, I know that sounds like I'm passing the buck. Dabo ultimately is responsible. But you have to, if I'm sitting here hosting a show and I got the coach and I've got a caller who's going off the rails, it's pretty easy. My job is to just circumvent the caller before it gets ugly.
That's true, but if you let him keep going, that's going to help your ratings. That's going to help your ratings, because I promise you, people are going to tune in.
On this show, I would have let the guy go on forever. Of course, this is a different type of show.
And you do.
Those shows are very predictable. They're not particularly interesting. It's primarily the same guys calling in every week. Saban's show on Thursday night, the same caller calls in every – it's always the first guy. And that's kind of cool. Saban knows the guy's name. He's met him. Other shows have similar things. And it's the whole idea of a coach's show is so me sitting out there in Nowheresville, South Carolina, can – talk to the coach. It's a unique experience to be able to be on the phone with Dabo Swinney. It's not a confrontational exercise. Thank you very, very, very much for the call. CJ is in Virginia. Hello, CJ.
Hey, Paul. Hey, I agree with you. If Alabama wins out, they will be in the top four and be in the playoff.
Right.
But LSU is going to win Saturday night. In the words of Justin Jefferson from 2019, we're coming for their head. There's no way Alabama's keeping up with us on offense. There's no way. I know you had told one of the callers a couple of days ago, it might have been Dwayne or somebody, who's going to stop the Alabama offense. I can tell you, Alabama. Alabama's just not that good on offense. And I know a lot's been made about our defense. I mean, first of all, our offense is elite. And, you know, you can look back at the Texas game to get a taste of what's going to happen Saturday night. But we have guys, we have men who are going to fill in on the players that are hurt. Jordan Jefferson, another Jefferson, is taking the place of Makai. And he's just as good as Makai. And it's up front, you know, with Harold Perkins and the rest of the guys that's going to stop Alabama. And the freshmen we have coming in on the back end, they're going to do the job. You know, I know Augie was saying stuff like, oh, our defense is terrible. You know, really? I see us all ascending on defense.
I think you're right. CJ, thanks very much. We have some breaking news. It's very sad news. A major Hall of Fame figure has passed away. Bob Knight, the legendary Indiana coach with multiple national championships, has died at the age of 83 years old. That literally just broke a couple of moments ago. He had the only undefeated team in NCAA history in 1976. He won another title in 1981. And then remember the famous Keith Smart shot in 1987, won three titles, went to the Final Four endless number of times with Indiana. Later, was fired from there, went to Texas Tech, where he took that program to the playoffs. And I think history will regard Bob Knight as one of the greatest basketball coaches of all time. I'm talking about Mount Rushmore. This is, you know, for all of his controversy, and he was very controversial, he truly personified the greatness of the game. Very few people have ever done what he did at IU. And he later went on and worked for ESPN and has really, for the most part, been out of the public spotlight for a number of years. The family has asked, in lieu of flowers, to honor Coach Knight with a memorial contribution to the Alzheimer's Association at Marion University. But I'll spare you my personal encounters with him, because there have been quite a few, and every one of them memorable, because that's who he was. There are very few figures. Mike Krzyzewski would be in that group, and in the modern game, that when you met this individual, it left an indelible impression. I mean, just incredible how popular he was at his peak, and his battles with the media were also legendary. Bob Knight, dead at the age of 83.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.